Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, the 35th Psalm, Psalm 35, in your Schofield Bible, page 615. Beginning with the 11th verse, we'll read responsively through verse 16. Psalm 35, verses 11 through 16, and page 615 in your Schofield Bible. As is our custom, let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned unto mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily, as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me, and ceased not. With hypocritical mockers in the feast, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Turn to one other verse, Psalm 41 and verse 9. Psalm 41, verse 9. Let's read that verse together. Ready? Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for the joy and privilege that is ours. We're thankful, of course, always for the freedom together, and we thank you for our country, America. But we thank you that such a church as this exists so that we can come and have our spiritual needs met, so that we can gather as a family. We can weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Thank you for our preacher. We thank you for thy word. And we're thankful that Sunday after Sunday, there's something here for us, something that's helpful, something that will make a difference in our lives. Help us to listen, please. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, Father, we come to the preaching of the book. What a wonderful, wonderful book it is, and thou hast truths for us. We have one this morning to share with the people. May I be able to share it properly, and to listen carefully. Amen. I often think of this little story, and on occasion have told it. There was a man not far from here, true story, by the way, was driving a Ford car. And that man, years ago, the car broke down, pulled over beside the road. The man, of course, in those days didn't have the AAA and all that stuff, and motor clubs and so forth, and call. And the man was stranded beside the road. Listen to me now. The old car was just broken down. Soon another car pulled up, and a real old man got out of the car. And he said, can I help you, please? And the driver, who was not so old, said, I need help, but an old man like you can't help me. What do you think you can do? Old man like you, now get in your car and go on off. I need help, but old man like you can't help me. So Henry Ford got in his car and drove off. I often wonder, I'm not smarter than you are, but I've collected an awful lot of things through these years. And I often wonder if maybe you ought not to listen when I tell you a few of the things I've collected. I would not say to you for a single moment that I'm a better Christian than you are, smarter than you are, more intelligent than you are, wiser than you are, but I've just been picking cotton for a long time, that's all. And I want to share with you a few of the things I picked this morning, or during the service, I want to share with you. I want to read one verse. You will not turn to it. We read it a while ago. But I want to read one verse for you. I behave myself.
Pardon.
I behave myself as though he had been my friend. That's my text. Now my title, if you listen carefully to it, will give away my sermon. If you understand the title real, real well, you can get up and walk out because you already have the sermon. I'll explain the rest of you. Don't you dare. The title is this. Not all of you are loyal, but each of you is. Not all of you are loyal, but each of you is. Let me use this mic here. I'm not an expert on many subjects, but I know I consider myself an expert on this subject. I believe with all my heart I can enrich your life this morning as much as any sermon I've ever preached. I was conducting a question and answer session recently in a distant state. Usually on Tuesday afternoon, I've just preached on Tuesday morning, and then there's a luncheon for preachers, pastors, and Christian workers. Sometimes you'll have 25 there, sometimes you have 200 or 300. And at the end of the meal, they asked me to conduct a question. Please help the ushers have the folks be seated back in the back. And once I start preaching, I don't think we'll let folks come in now. I want you to listen to me very carefully. I don't have long this morning, and I want you to hear me, and I want you ushers to help me, please. Hurry. Now then, I always, any time about Tuesday afternoon, about 1:30, you wonder what I'm doing. I'll be standing up in front of a bunch of Christian workers having a question and answer time. And this question was asked me recently, Brother Howes, how do you keep your confidence in people? Now I want to make a statement. I do have confidence in the human race. I mentioned that last Sunday night in my sermon on praising God on 10 strings. And one of those strings was, I thank God I'm not disillusioned with mankind. I still have confidence in people. And he said, Brother Howes, all these years, the big church you have, and you must have had hundreds and thousands of people to betray you or leave you, the people you loved, and all the battles you fought all through these years, how do you keep your confidence in people? I'm going to tell you how this morning. Somebody else asked this question. Not at a question and answer time, but a pastor was driving me to the airport from the motel room on Wednesday morning. And he said, Brother Howes, ask a question. He said, I'm a young preacher and I'm getting bitter and disillusioned at people. He said, how do you keep from being disillusioned with people? I think it was Ms. Howes that asked me this question the other day. She said, I think Ms. Howes, how do you still trust people like you do? Now, Ms. Howes trusts people like I do. But she asked me, how do you still trust people like you do? Now let me answer all three of these. By the way, of course, there are the usual ways that I often mention. I consider somebody who turns on me or attacks me as being broken, not bad. I have a watch right now that's in a repair shop. When I found out it was broken, I didn't throw it away. I didn't stomp it, didn't criticize it, didn't cuss it. I just tried to get it repaired, that's all. And if somebody is angry at me, I don't think they're bad people necessarily. I just think they're broken, just like I'd be broken if I were angry at them. So I do not look at them as being somebody that's bad because they have betrayed me, but somebody that's broken. Now, there's the old one I mentioned before I get to the sermon this morning. The old one about, I look at the entire picture. It may be that I'm the only person they hate. Well, if there, I don't know how many billions of people there are on the earth, I've forgotten, but it doesn't matter. If I'm the only one they hate, that's pretty good average. That most of us, this is the truth. If anybody loves us, they can hate the rest of the world and they're good people. But they can love the rest of the world and hate us, they're bad people. We judge everybody by the way they treat us, which is a symbol of our selfishness. Now those things are sad, those are old things I've taught here, but I want you to sit up straight, I want you to hear me carefully. I'm talking to hundreds of people this morning that are fighting bitterness. I'm talking to people that are having a hard time having confidence in anybody, and you're looking at a man that has not lost confidence in people, and I'm not disillusioned by the human race, and I want to help you this morning. Now follow me carefully. I'm going to give you three statements, and each is built on the other. Listen carefully. I look at this congregation this morning, and there's several thousand people here today.
There are three groups of people here this morning as far as I and your relationship with me is concerned. I realize, number one, that there are many people in this congregation who will stand by me till death. I mean, many until I die, and there are many people this morning I think would die for me if needs be. I feel there are many people in this room this morning who will stand by me as long as I live. Now, number two, I also realize that there are some who will leave me, yet not be my enemies. Now, I'll be honest with you, don't take this wrong. I'm not bitter at anybody, but I have a little hard time understanding how a person could come and be born here, and be in our nursery, and be in our beginner, and primary, and junior high, and high school, and me to give my life to build a school for them, a bunch of schools for them, and try to keep the bills paid, and try to meet the salaries, and meet the payroll, and preach to you, and love you, and care for you. Then you get up and get married, and you want to go to some smaller church in the area where you can... I understand that. I really don't. Now, if you have a son or daughter that's done that, I'm not mad at them. I love them. But it's a little hard for me to understand that. It would for you, too, if you were where I am. But there's some of you this morning here that you will not get angry at me, but you will just leave the church. We want a smaller church. That's the dumbest thing. Won't you choose a doctor that doesn't have many patients? Choose a doctor nobody else will go to for treatment. Go to a dentist and he'll say, boy, I'm sure glad to see you. I haven't had a patient in 3 years. I'd suggest you choose. I'm getting bitter all of a sudden. But there are those here this morning. There are people here this morning who will be with me as long as I live until I die. Until they die, there are people this morning that will never be bitter at me and will never hate me, but your attachment is not strong enough for you to stick with me as I grow older. You want some younger preacher, a younger church, a smaller church, and you'll go somewhere else. To you, a church is like a barber. If he doesn't cut your hair good or well a few times, you'll go to a new barber and so forth. Now, there's a third group. There are those this morning in this room who will turn against me. There are three groups of people in this room. Now, I'm using this about me because I'm telling you how I live without being disillusioned, bitter, and why I've not lost confidence in people. Follow me carefully. Three groups of people. Group number one, those I know you're here, but I don't know who you are. Because there are people I thought were in that group who were not in that group. There are people who turned on me that I thought were as close to me as anybody in the church. So, there's group number one. Don't think I haven't got confidence in that until I get through. The group number two, those that will leave, but they'll not be angry. Their ties are not strong enough to where we're together for life. Then group number three, there are those this morning who will turn on me. But the key is this. When I'm looking at any one of you, you're the one that's going to stay. See? Now that means most of you are loyal, but most of you are loyal. Not all of you are loyal, but each of you is. Not all of you are loyal, but each of you is. For example, Bob Alter, I think you're going to stick by me. Ms. Alter, I think you're going to stick by me. Brother Lynn, I think you're going to stick by me. And I go to anybody in this audience this morning. To me, everybody, each person, you're not one of those in group two. You're not one of those in group one, group three. Each of you. Now, I realize that there are people here who will turn on me, but individually, I do not believe it's you, you see. Now, so what I do is I look at the human race like that. I want to be surprised when it happens. I want to be shocked when it happens. I have total confidence. Now, I do not have total confidence in all this audience to stick by me, but I have total confidence in each person in this audience to stick by me. Let me go a step further. Let me go down to my deacons. Will all the deacons stand, please? I want to talk to you just a minute. A few things I'm going to get off my chest for quite a while. As you can see, we made some mistakes in choosing our deacons. All these fellows who are deacons, we have 93 deacons on our board. One or more of these deacons someday will turn on me. Now, experience has told me that. One of these deacons. I do not believe it's you, I do not believe it's you. I do not believe it's you. I believe it's you. I do not believe it is you. I do not believe it is you. I don't think it's you. I don't think it's you. Thank you, fellas. These kids. You get the philosophy here? I do not have confidence in all of these men, but I have confidence in each of these men. So to me, I don't ever see one of these fellows and say, I bet that guy turns on me. No, sir. Though I realize that of 93 men, if the past is any prophet of the future, some one or more of these 93 men will turn on me. But I don't believe that if I talk to any of them, I don't believe that that is one of them. Take the choir. I realize that somebody in this choir is going to turn on me. You dirty, sorry. But one of these days, if we've had folks that sang in this choir before. You ladies on the second row, y'all must be awful big. Get that two chairs for each one of you. Yeah, that's the one's going to turn on me right there on the second row. Now, we've had members of this choir that sit up here, I'm taking a few names right now, who turned on me. So if history is any prophecy of the future, somebody in this choir will turn on me. But it is not you. It's not you, or you, or you, or you, and it better not be you. But I'm trying to say, so I realize that somebody up here will. But I don't believe it's any one of you. So when I look at any one of you, I have confidence in you. Now, the same thing's true with the men on my staff. I want to shock you here now. I've never had, in 52 years of preaching and 50 of that pastoring churches, I've never had an assistant pastor to give me any trouble while he was on my staff. Think about that. Never. Now, we had some fellows at the college who turned on the college and me, but never on the church staff. That means if you get to know me real well, you love the fire out of me. But I wrote the names down. 24 names I thought of last night. Bob Keyes, Jim Lyons, Bill Harvey, Ken Chamden, Charles Hand, C.W. Fisk, Cal Streeter, Lindsay Terry, Wally Beebe, Jim Vineyard, Johnny Colston, Larry Bullard, Elmer Fernandez, Ron Perkey, Roy Moffitt, Ray Young, Ed Lapina, Keith McKinney, Jeff Owens, Victor Hernandez, Bill Shutt, Jim Wirtz, John Clark, Craig Bush. I'm sure I missed somebody. Now, not a single one of those men, as far as I can recall, gave me one moment displeasure while they were here. But I like for all the people who are part-time or full-time employed in some of our ministries here, would you stand, please? Now, about the college, high school, all of you. Now, if the past is in any indication of the future, some of you will turn on me. You follow me? But I don't think it'll be you. I don't think it'll be you. I missed the two of you. I don't think it'll be 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 you. You see, what I'm trying to say, I have total confidence in every single person standing. Reality shows me that somewhere out there, there's somebody going to turn on me one of these days. And the past reveals to me that out yonder somewhere, folks standing right now, some will turn on me. But I look at each of you this morning and say, I don't believe it's you. That means I have total trust in everybody that's standing. And that means that when you do betray me, I'll be shocked to death. Because I trust each of you now. Be seated, please. Ladies and gentlemen, this sort of truth could change your whole life. The whole attitude of life. Nine of the men that served on me with me as assistant pastors are still here. Five are pastoring churches. Four are evangelists. Two passed away. One is now a medical doctor. Two are missionaries. One's an assistant pastor. And not a single one of these 24 men has turned on me while they were here with me. They've not turned on me. They've been loyal and faithful to me all the way through. But I understand, of all of the 500 and some odd people who stood a while ago, some of you will turn on me. Now, folks, you can look at it. I'll tell you what. He turned on me. I don't trust anybody anymore. Hey, if I got 500 people that worked for me and 10 turned on me, I got 490 that didn't. We say, I never know who it's going to be. Okay, but trust. I'd rather trust all of them because 490 are going to stand than trust none of them because 10 are going to turn. Now, sit up and listen to me. Wake up and listen to what I'm saying to you this morning. You don't have to be bitter to human race. I'm not disillusioned. And by the way, I probably have had more people turn on me than this whole crowd put together. But I probably have more confidence in humanity than anybody in this room this morning. When I go out on Mondays to preach, I'll go to maybe a church where I've never been before, and I'll preach. I walk on the platform, and I'll say, he's my friend, and he's my friend. I don't walk out and assume an adversarial position, nor do I feel that anybody there has assumed an adversarial position. I walk out, and I say, that person is glad to see me, and that person is glad I'm preaching. Now, I know there's some people in that audience that are there to be critical of me, but I don't distrust any single person. Listen to me, folks. Not all of you are loyal, but each of you is loyal as far as I'm concerned. Now, if I can take that position, you can take that position. A family was here this morning, taught me this lesson 38 years ago. And she's going to be surprised because she doesn't know it. I saw him in the alley a while ago, and so I'm going to brag on you this morning. I did that so you'll stay awake. Dale Hassey and Marge Hassey have taught me this lesson 38 years ago. They don't know it. I've never told them this at all. I've been a little bit afraid to. But they taught me this lesson 38 years ago. 38 years ago, we were in a battle. I had just been here a few months. I was different. Church was formal. I was informal. Church was ritualistic. I was hellfire and damnation. Church was American Baptist. I was independent Baptist. And we were having, to say the least, a skirmish or two. Now, in those days, somebody tried to set our house on fire by setting the drapers on fire in our garage. 2 o'clock in the morning, if God hadn't waked me up, all of us been burned to death because the drapers would have caught the garage on fire and the garage was attached to the house. They'd all been killed, which means somebody tried to kill us. What were you doing that night? Anyway, somebody tried to kill us. We actually, one Wednesday night, had some bloodshed over here in the corner of the altar as one of my followers fought somebody that was coming up to put me, or try to. Of course, they couldn't have done it. Where were you sitting? But anyway, it's terrible. And the truth is, Brother Ray, it got to where if I ever saw two people talking, I was thinking they was talking bad about me. One Sunday morning, before Sunday school, I saw Bill and Marge Hassey. They were here when I came. They were out in the front talking to another couple. And I said to myself, two more couples are enemies. To me, if anybody talked to anybody, they're talking bad about me. And I saw Bill and Marge Hassey out in front of the Miller Hall, the office area building. They were talking to another couple. And I said to myself, I can say, you know, Bill's like me. He doesn't have an effervescent smile. He's good, solid, steady, but Bill doesn't say much. He can't. Marge says too much, but Bill doesn't say much, and neither of them is real vocal. And I said, probably against me. Was I ever surprised? They have stood like the Rock of Gibraltar for 38 years and 2 months. They have weathered the storm with me. They have lost friends, so-called friends of a lifetime for me. They've trusted me when they had to trust. They've stayed by me as loyal and faithful as any two people ever could. And one day I looked at Bill and Marge and I said, I'm going to change my philosophies. When I see two people talking, I'm going to say they're bragging on me. When I see two couples talking, I'm going to say they're talking good about me. Or complimenting me. Bragging on a sermon. And they literally, Bill and Marge Hassey, literally changed my life. They did not know it. Never told them. They're just finding it out right now. But they changed my whole philosophy. Now that means this, ladies and gentlemen. That means that I trust everybody in this room. You'll never talk to me while I'm doubting you. Because I don't doubt you. I don't doubt you, 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 I don't doubt you. I don't doubt any single one of you. I'm aware of the fact that one of these days I'm going to go to bed one night and weep because I've been shot. But brother, 'tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. One of my favorite scriptures. You better laugh. You're showing your ignorance right now. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying simply this. I realize that there are people in this room who will betray me, but I realize that there are people who will not betray me. And each of you, as I see you this morning, is a loyal, faithful friend. There's some people, there'll be somebody in the choir one of these days who betray me, but as I look at each of you this morning, I don't think it's you. One of my 93 deacons may someday betray me, but I come to each one of those men. I could look at them this morning and say, you're not the one. I trust you totally. You're not the one. And by the way, if I have five of those betray me someday, that's 88 that have not betrayed me. I'd really be wrong on five by trusting each of them, then be wrong on 88 by not trusting any of them. And you say, Brother Hiles, what do you do when folks do betray you? Well, in the first place, I think they think they made a mistake and still love me, but they won't admit it. I think you folks betray me, get mad, leave the church. When I think about them, I think about, I bet they miss me. I bet they still love me as much as they know how. And I bet they wish they were back here. You say, Brother Hiles, do you think all the people are that way? No, I don't think all of them are that way, but everyone I see, I think he's that way. I see somebody on the street, a public place, I see them on the street, and they'll come and speak to me, I'll speak to them. You say, have you ever met one on the street you thought was bitter to you, that turned on you? No, sir. I've always thought that everyone was glad to see me, and that they were sorry they turned on me, and that they wish they could come back, but maybe they don't have the too ashamed to come back. I'm trying. And by the way, not all the folks that turned on me are bad people. Many of them loved everybody else but me, and I'm not going to be bitter at them. And they're mine. Hey, you don't win someone to Christ, and then you don't marry their young and bury their dead, and pray for their sick and counsel with them. In some cases, salvage their marriages. In other cases, work to salvage your children and give your life to them for 38 years, and then all of a sudden they get mad at you and leave, and you get bitter at them. Not this preacher, brother. I happen to love the prodigal. I happen to love the one that's left. I happen to love those that are bitter at me. And if you've betrayed me this morning, I believe you're sorry. And I believe you still love me. I'm not, let me say this. I have numbers of heroes, and I'm giving my testimony this morning, hoping that you'll emulate this part of me. Don't copy my stubbornness, if I ever am. But this, I want you to copy. I want you to be like Brother Hiles in this particular case. You trust people. And don't lose your confidence in people. There are people all over this room right now who are back home. They've come back. They're young couples here who got upset with me, left the church, but now your own kids are getting up and you want some preaching like this to be delivered to your boys and girls. And they're back. So let me say it again, and I'll have to close. I want to go farther. I have to close. Let me say it again. Everybody, listen. There are people in this world who are going to turn on you. But there are also people that will never turn on you. There are people in this world that will not turn on you, but they will not stick with you, but they'll still be your friends. Now, the way that you can enjoy life is you look at each one individually and say, he's not one of them. He is one that's going to stick beside me. Look at me carefully. You look in this morning, not you ask Miss Hiles. She'll tell you because she's paid to. She has to. She loves to eat, though it's not obvious. But you ask Miss Hiles. I have not lost confidence in human nature. I'm thinking about a preacher right now who turned on me. He wouldn't have me preach for him at all. I preach for him every year for many years. I was preaching at the National Bus Convention in Walkertown, North Carolina a couple of years ago. I was sitting back in the back while the first preacher was preaching. I looked about three rows over, and there was that preacher that turned on me. He had come to hear me preach. I had never admitted it. And I didn't want him to see me because I didn't want to be embarrassed. And he still won't have me preach because he's too stubborn, as I see it.
Boy, I almost blew it, didn't I?
You folks not laughing, don't come to church on Wednesday night. But the honest, simple truth is, I knew he loved me all the time. I never thought that when he turned on me, his feelings would last. Down inside his heart, I think he loves me this morning. He even came to hear me preach and drove several miles to hear me preach that night and sat there and heard me preach. I wasn't surprised. Because though he turned on me bitterly, I still love him and never felt like, but I wait a minute carefully. That man probably knows 5,000 preachers. He's only turned on one. That's a pretty good record. Do you think I'm going to look at him and say he's a bad guy because I happen to be the one? I mean, okay, I'm the only question on the test he's missed. He still made an A+. You get 4,999 questions right on a test, you're going to make a pretty good grade. And if you love 4,999 preachers and hate one, that's a pretty good average. Now, in your case, if you're the one, he's had it. In my case, if he's the one, he's still got it. He still got it. Now this morning, I want to regain your confidence in human nature. I want you to get back to having confidence. Oh, yes, I've lost all confidence in people. Oh, shut up. You one or two, three people. Hey, you business people. I don't trust Baptists anymore. Members of this church owe me money. Well, they owe me money too. I got folks all this room owe me money. You dirty bric-a-brac, a bunch of flattery. And in many cases, I've written you letters realizing I would never get it, and I wrote you a letter and said, forget it. And I love you as much as I ever loved you. I think you made a mistake on me, but I'm not going to think just because you made a mistake on me that you're all bad. I think the whole picture is pretty good. Now listen, folks, listen carefully to me. You just look at everybody you know and realize if they're at work or at school, wherever they are, they're your employees or employers or schoolmates or fellow workers, you realize that some of those folks are going to stick with you forever. And some of those folks are going to turn on you. But you walk up to each one of them and look at him and say in your soul, you're not one of those that's going to turn. So, all of you are not loyal. But to me, each of you is loyal. That's one reason why I go through happy things, go through life happy things, everybody loves me. I mean, to me, I know how wonderful I really am. If you don't laugh, we're going to be here at 12:30, I promise you. Now, I'm simply saying, I enjoy life. I'm 71 years of age. I finished my 3 score and 10. I was buried 13 months ago. I finished my 3 score and 10. I'm all washed up. My future's behind me. I'm a has-been, but bless God, I'm still happy. See? I still got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I still got 12 that stuck beside me here and didn't fall. So I'm going to trust microphones from now on. And by the way, I'm going to trust you from now on too. He said, Miles, do you suspicion me? Not one whit. Not one whit. For you are one of the ones who will stick with me as long as I live. Reckon you ought not to reevaluate your outlook on life this morning. Wouldn't you like to be 71 and be happy? Or wouldn't you like to make it to 71? Miserable or happy, either one. But wouldn't you like to be an old man, 71 years of age, I'm 9 years past being able to receive Social Security, part of it, and 6 years I've been old enough to receive Social Security, all of it. Old man, 71 years old, and have had literally thousands of people whom I love with all my heart to turn on me. But they don't make the one that I don't still love. Because when they turned, I was surprised. And I believe every one of them is sorry. No, I believe each of them is sorry. There's some out there that are not sorry, but when I see each one, I say to myself, he's the one that still loves me, and he's the one that's sorry. Now give what I thought, give what I said this morning, some serious thought. It'll change your life and give you a richness and a happiness, and you'll never suspicion Bill Hassie and Marge again. How many of you have had suspicion about Bill and Marge? Raise your hand. See there? This could change your whole attitude toward Bill and Marge Hassie. I hope it will. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, this